when Nick had, during worship there, when he asked us just to start thanking God on our own for what he's done for us. Just a picture came to me, I guess, of yesterday when I was at the superstore and I was buying some apple pears. I love those things. And it took me a while to find the ones I wanted because every one I picked up was bruised or it was rotten. And eventually I was able to find three perfect apple pears. And I started thinking, that I was so thankful that God picked me, that God chose me. And that's what he's done for each of us. He's picked us, he's chosen us, even though we're bruised, even though we're rotten. He still picked us. And what amazes me even more is that he kept me. He picked me, and then he kept me. What an amazing God. And I've given him time and time again. I've given him reason after reason after reason to throw me back. But he hasn't. And I just feel like that's for someone here today, that God has chosen you. He's picked you. Even though some people would pass you by and pass you over, even though some people would throw you back, God didn't do that. He loves you too much. He picked you and he kept you. I know sometimes we push away and we run away, but God says he's not going anywhere. You're his. You're his. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated this morning. Hey. We're starting a new series today. And so today is a lot about kind of laying a foundation for this series. And we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture today. But I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is our main scripture for today. And I'm going to read it for you from the New King James Version to start. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want to read it one more time from the Amplified Version. That means it's three times as long. For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. So the first thing I think that we can see in this scripture is that it shows us that we are engaged in a war. Verse 3 talks about a spiritual warfare. Okay? There is a spiritual battle that rages on every day between the kingdom of God and the army of darkness. Every day that battle rages on. Are you engaged in spiritual warfare every day? Are you engaged in battle every day? I'm going to say whether you know it or not, you are. There is no demilitarized zone. There's no place where this battle doesn't exist, but all of mankind are a part of this battle. The Bible is also very clear who our enemy is. In Ephesians chapter 6, and you don't need to turn there, but we'll just put it up on the screen for you. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11 and 12, it says, "Put on the full armor of God, then you can remain strong against the devil's evil plans." Our fight is not against human beings. I put that in bold, and I underlined it to make sure that we see that. Our battle, our fight, is not against human beings. It is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly world. Our enemy is Satan, the devil, and his demons. Satan hates God. We are made in the image of God. Satan hates us. The best way, actually the only way, he can attack God or hurt God is by hurting us. So we are in a battle, we're in a war with a real enemy, Satan and his demons. Now verse 4 in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So verse 4 tells us that God has equipped us with weapons to pull down and destroy strongholds and fortresses of the enemy. So God has given us spiritual weapons, and they have God power to pull down and destroy. Thanks, Nick. The fortresses and the strongholds of the enemy. Now, verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it helps us to understand what these strongholds and fortresses are, and it tells us where they are. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. Let me ask you this question, and please answer out loud. Where do arguments, knowledge, and thoughts live? What's that? In the mind. Okay, that's where the battle takes place. That's where the enemy has set up strongholds and fortresses. He set them up in our minds. We don't have to go very far for this battle, do we? Right? But the battlefield is the mind. Okay? I want us to understand the importance of this battle. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Another translation says, "So does he become." We will become what we think. Do you know that we can think our way out of God's plan and God's will for our life? That your thought life will determine the quality of your actual life. If your life is a mess, your thought life is a mess. If things are not going well for you, the first two questions I would ask you are, what are you thinking and what are you speaking? Because your thoughts and your words will set the course for your life. So this series is all about reclaiming our mind for God. That's what this series is about. Reclaiming our mind for God, so that we can think the way that God thinks, so that we can see the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are. So we can have his plans and his thoughts fulfilled in our life. So we can live in victory of the cross and all the finished works of Jesus. So we can live in salvation and redemption and joy and peace and righteousness and hope and healing and new identity and purpose and protection and complete freedom. All the works of Jesus. Jesus did not die so we can live defeated lives, so we can just eke our way through this life, broke, busted, and disgusted. My favorite preacher would always say. Right? He didn't die for that. So this morning and for the rest of this series, we're going to engage in some spiritual warfare. Does that sound okay? And we're going to reclaim some territory that the enemy has laid claim to, but please understand, he has no spiritual legal authority to keep it. We're going to activate some of those Hebrews 1:14 angels that are sent with the power, the anointing of God, to carry out our salvation. Does that sound okay? And so today, in the following weeks, we're going to look and we're going to pull down strongholds. Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much, God, for your word. I thank you for truth. God, I pray that your truth is going to prevail today and over the following weeks, God. I pray that strongholds are going to be brought down. God, I pray that blinders are going to come off. I pray, God, that we are going to see the truth of your word, and that through your word, we're going to see the truth of who we are and what is going on in our mind. And God, I pray that beginning today and following weeks, God, that we will absolutely reclaim our mind for you and your purpose and your will and your plans and your word, in Jesus' name. So God, I just pray today that we're going to be just at a place of receiving, that we're going to be able to hear your word clearly, that nothing is going to prevent us from hearing that specific word that you have for each of us today. That even if we have heard all of what I'm about to say 100 times, that there is still a specific word that the Holy Spirit has for each one of us, for right now, wherever we're at with you. So God, I declare that word, that truth, to come forth today. God, I pray that we're not just going to be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word. And God, I declare freedom in this place right now, in Jesus' name. We come against the devil, we come against demons, we come against oppression, we come against any dark forces that are trying to come against us right now, in Jesus' name. We bind them, we command them to leave in the name of Jesus, so that we can have freedom in this place, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to come against all the fits that the enemy is going to throw today and in the next few weeks. I just come against those fits. I pray that we recognize them for what they are, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And that, God, you are mightier. Glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to begin by helping us understand what a stronghold is. We've kind of thrown that word stronghold a lot already. So let's just understand what it is. A stronghold, they are incorrect thinking patterns in our mind that are programmed to think contrary to the truth. Okay, that is a stronghold. It's a wrong way of thinking that has been burned into our minds. And strongholds, they act as a filter, okay? And it affects how we perceive information. It's going to cause us to think about the things we see and hear in an incorrect way, in opposition to what is true and right. Okay, so it affects how we even perceive information. Okay, it is any thoughts, arguments, theories, reasonings, and proud and lofty ideas that tries to lift themselves up above the Word of God in our minds. Strongholds have the ability to affect our feelings, our actions, how we respond to various situations in life, and they play a large role in our spiritual freedom. Okay, so those are what strongholds are. It's wrong thinking. Okay, so at some point, we have accepted, we've allowed wrong thinking to take a place in our mind to the point that it's become a fortress. Okay, this is stronghold. So how do these strongholds get built up in our mind? Well, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, God encourages us to pick up the shield of faith so we can extinguish all the flaming arrows or the fiery darts of the enemy. Okay, so those flaming arrows, those fiery darts, those are thoughts. Did you know that the devil has the power, he has the ability to put thoughts in your mind? That all of the thoughts in your mind are not necessarily your thoughts. It's very important that we understand this. Okay? And he gives us those thoughts in first person singular. So that we think it's our thought. Right? Okay? Not every thought you think is yours. The thoughts that he puts in our mind are absolutely lies. Absolutely. John 8:44 says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to obey your father's wishes. From the beginning, the devil was a murderer. He has never obeyed the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his natural language. He does this because he is a liar. He is the father of lies. It is so important to declare that the devil is a liar. Just like we speak English, Satan only speaks lie. That's his language, lie. Okay? That's his native tongue. So it's important for us to understand that. You have been lied to. You've been lied to. In your thought life, you have been lied to millions of times, whether it's been indirectly, okay, by just living in a fallen world and just receiving, you know, the messages of a fallen world through media, through culture, through people, through magazines, whatever, okay, that we've been lied to that way, okay, or if it's been directly to through the enemy attacking your thought life with those flaming arrows, those lies directly into your mind. The enemy has lied to you about you. He's lied to you about God. He's lied to you about other people. He's lied to you about circumstances. Okay, I promise whatever circumstance you're in right now, the devil has lied to you about it. Okay, it's important to understand, too, he usually doesn't tell us the whole lie at one time. Okay, but he's going to bombard our minds with nagging thoughts, suspicions, doubts, fears, half-truths. Are half-truths lies? Absolutely. Okay, think about with Adam and Eve, think about Eve in the garden. When he first talked to Eve, okay, the first thing he did is he asked her a question causing suspicion. did God really say you can't do this? Right? That was the first question. He's causing suspicion. Okay? Then he tried causing her to doubt God's word. He said, certainly you won't die, because God said that's what would happen. Then he told her a half-truth. Right? He said, you know what? God knows that when you eat it, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Is that a half-truth? It is. Were her eyes opened at that point? Yeah. He kind of forgot the part about how the disobedience is going to bring sin and death for all of mankind. Right? So that's, he didn't tell the whole truth, but he told half a truth. So he lied. Right? So that's what he does. Little by little, he's going to have those nagging thoughts, those doubts, those suspicions, those half-truths, and we start to accept them more and more, and if we tolerate them and we allow them to keep creeping in and coming in, what happens is eventually we start to believe them, and it sets up a stronghold of that lie. It sets up a fortress of that lie in our mind. It's very important for us to consider and to understand and to acknowledge today. This is very important, you guys, that it's very possible, and I'm going to say very likely, that you might have some strongholds built up in your mind. Remember what strongholds are. Wrong ways of thinking that go against God's word, because you've believed a lie from the enemy. And I believe that there are millions of Christians, believers in Jesus, that are living in bondage today, unable to participate in the finished works of the cross. How sad! Because they believed a lie that's affected their thinking, that's affected their decision, that's affected their words, that's affected their life. Let me give you an example. I just want to be really clear. I want us to really understand what a stronghold is, okay? So maybe a woman, there's an adult woman, and she might have had a very poor childhood. And her family was continually in need, and they relied on, you know, food banks and other charities and things like that. And she would go to school, and she was teased because of her clothes, because they weren't nice clothes like the other kids. And through that poverty, through that experience, she developed a fear of lack. Okay, a fear of lack. Now let me ask you a question. Is a fear of lack an incorrect pattern of thinking that is contrary to God's word? Absolutely it is. That is a stronghold. Okay, our God is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's going to supply all of our needs according to what? His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay? So to have a fear of lack built up as a stronghold, a fortress in your mind. Okay? So now that woman, as an adult, she wants to always be at that point where she doesn't have to rely on anyone for help. So now she stresses and she worries about money all the time. She has physical ailments because of the constant stress. She completely depends on herself and not God. She's always putting in overtime, sacrificing time with her family. She doesn't know how to be generous with her money. She doesn't know how to enjoy money. Her and her husband are constantly fighting about money. And you know what's happening the entire time? The enemy keeps coming along with the fiery darts, reminding her and shaming her of her past, deceiving her to be more self-reliant, taking her further away from a trust in God, and making her believe that her job is her provision. That's how a stronghold works. Does that sound like a good life? Does that sound like what Jesus died for? Absolutely not. Okay, so I want to talk about three ways to pull down strongholds. You thought I started my sermon. I didn't yet. Now I'm going to give you the 3 steps to pulling down strongholds. It's okay. It's okay. They're not that long. Okay, the first one is this. Renew your mind. We need to renew our mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, you can discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now remember, okay, when we got saved, if you have invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and you've committed your life to Him, okay, that's what I mean when I say you've been saved, okay? The Bible says that we become a new creation. Amen? The old is gone and the new has come. Our spirit, our life force, right? That's who we really are. That was regenerated when we invited Jesus into our heart. That was what became born again. You've heard that expression, born again? Anybody? Okay? That's our spirit that became born again, right? And we became brand new, spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. But please understand, our minds did not become brand new. Our minds are not a new creation. Our spirit is. Okay, so our minds then, I invite Jesus to my heart, but my mind is still full of all the junk and the stinking thinking and the lies and all the strongholds that I've accumulated in a lifetime of living in a fallen world and living defenseless to the enemy's lies. My mind is still full of all that junk. Are you with me? So God wants our minds to be transformed like our spirits are transformed. Okay, so He wants us to renew our minds towards Him so we can know what's right, so we can discern a lie from the truth, so we can know what God's plans are for us and His will is for us, and so that we can live in all the finished works of Jesus. So how do we renew our minds? Let me ask you this question. How do we counter deception and lies with the truth? Absolutely. John chapter 8 and verse 31 to 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So God's word, the Bible, God's word is the truth that will set us free. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that was our main scripture that we read today at the beginning. That's the weapons it's talking about that has the divine power to demolish strongholds. It's the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart." So God's word has the power to cut through the stronghold, and I'm going to use the word shred. It shreds it. Right? My son's been using that word a lot lately. Shredded. I'm shredded. Dad, I'm shredded. This is what the Word of God has the power to do. It has the power to shred the lie of the enemy. To shred that and bring down that stronghold. We are just not excited enough about what I just said. Sorry. The enemy has lied to you. The enemy is trying to steal from you and kill you and destroy you by setting up these strongholds in your mind. But God has equipped us with His word to shred it, to destroy it, to pull it down, hallelujah, so that we can live in victory. That's something to get excited about. You guys are just too scholarly today. You're just like, oh, yes. Yes, that's correct, Pastor. We can get excited. It's okay to do that. God's word has the power to bring that stronghold down so we can think right. Ephesians 6 says God's word is the sword of the Spirit, and some versions say the sword that the Holy Spirit wields. I love that. I love that for a couple reasons. First of all, our job is to pour in word. That's our job. Our job is to put this in here, to read the word of God. And now when the attack comes, when the fiery darts and the flaming arrows come, when the enemy is trying to lie to us, the Holy Spirit, wielding the word of God, prompts us to the scripture that we need to battle and shut down that lie. The Holy Spirit wields this word. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Has the Holy Spirit ever lost a battle? No. Never. Never. And we have the weapon that the Holy Spirit uses to win every battle? Are you kidding me? Okay, I'm going to get a little harsh. Ready? Love you. We can't know a lie if we don't know the truth. How can we know a lie if we don't know the truth? I don't know somebody. And someone else says, yeah, that person's this. I don't know. I don't know if that's a lie. Because I don't know the truth about that person. We have to read the word. There are millions of believers in this world living in bondage to the lies of Satan because they have nothing to compare them to. How many of you know that a sword is not effective in its scabbard? A Bible is not effective covered in dust. We are in a battle. Going into our day without the word of God is like a soldier just running into a battlefield without a weapon. Does that make any sense? He's going to get slaughtered. Satan is firing flaming arrows at you. Pick up your weapon. I don't know. Maybe. Let's pick up our weapon. Please, please hear me. We cannot renew our minds and we can't pull down strongholds and we can't live in victory and we can't know the will of God for our life without the Word of God as a consistent part of our life. We can't do it. We can't fight. We are defenseless without Him. We have to read the Word. How many of you know this scripture? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How many of you know that scripture? How many of you know that that's half of what the scripture says? You know, and I confess I'm one of the ones, but I love quoting that scripture for years without quoting all of it. But the first part's the most important part, James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Renew your mind. Read the word. Meditate on the word. And then you can tell the devil where to go. But we're not pulling any strongholds down until we get this a part of our life. We need the word of God. So number one, renew our mind. Number two, repent. Repent. See, the next step to bring down these strongholds in our minds, once the Word of God reveals the stronghold to us, so the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they show us, right, what's happening here. They show us where we have wrong thinking. But the next step then after that is repentance. See, that stronghold, it's causing us to live in sin. It's causing us to miss the mark. That incorrect pattern of thinking is fulfilling Satan's plan for us, not God's. It's causing us to disobey his word. So we need to repent. We need to renounce the stronghold, reject, repent of the lie, the thoughts that you've been influenced by, and the behavior that followed that. But please hear this. Don't pity the enemy. Don't pity the enemy. In Deuteronomy 7 and 16, God's giving the Israelites instruction. When they go in to the promised land to battle those other nations, he says, I want you to utterly destroy them. I want you to have no pity on them. I want no survivors. I think part of why God did that is so that he's teaching us today how to deal with our enemy. Don't pity your enemy. When you become aware of a stronghold, put your effort into destroying that stronghold. Let's not make excuses. Let's not try to justify our position. Let's not try to have that rebellion and self-defense is pitying the enemy. Right? We try to argue and defend and justify our bad behavior to God instead of repenting. God, you know what? I know, God, your word says that, but it's so hard. You're just making excuses. You're pitying the enemy. You're prolonging his influence in your life. But our attitude needs to be, God, I don't want to make any excuses. I just want to be free. So, God, I just completely renounce that way of thinking. I'm sorry for choosing to rebel against your word. I'm sorry for how I acted because of the way I was thinking. I repent of rebellion and pride. I submit to you and your word. God, please tear down every stronghold, every wrong way of thinking in me. Let's not mess around. Amen? I was listening to a really old Joyce Meyer tape this week. I think it's from maybe even the 90s. Well, I mean, you know, that's a long time. Like, it's like 18 years ago. And she was telling a story about how she just had this, all of a sudden she had this awareness that she was so critical and so judgmental towards people who don't accept responsibility. She had this just anger, this instant anger towards them. And she said that God showed her that the reason why she had that is because as a child, and she's, this is well documented, she shares this often, as a child, she was sexually abused by her father with her mother's knowledge of it. So her mother didn't take responsibility in protecting her. And so what happened is through that experience and the enemy nagging thoughts and doubts and fears and half-truths and lies, that began to become a stronghold in her mind to the point now that she can't love people the way God wants her to love people because she's so judgmental and so critical. She's got no grace for people who show any lack of irresponsibility or lack of responsibility. And so she had reason. I mean, on a surface level, don't you think she could just say, well, God, I kind of have a reason to feel this way. I kind of have a reason to act this way. I mean, my mom should have protected me, and she didn't. But she didn't do that. She took accountability, and she took responsibility, and she repented. And she asked forgiveness for her wrong thinking, and she asked forgiveness for her mother, and she asked for compassion and mercy and grace for people who weren't responsible. So she repented, and she attacked the stronghold. She didn't pity the enemy, and she was set free, and she was able to love people the way she's supposed to love people. Right? So renew our minds, repent, and the last thing is this, is bind the strong man. bind the strong man. Mark chapter 3 and verse 27, it says, Jesus is talking here, and he says, in fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. You have to understand, the strong man in this scripture is Satan. That's who Jesus is talking about. He's talking about Satan. How many of you know that Jesus is stronger than the strong man? Amen? I think that's pretty easy to see when just at the very presence of Jesus, demons start to scream and cry and beg. Right? You don't do that if your boss was stronger. Right? But Jesus is stronger than the strong man. He won the battle at Calvary. Amen? Now, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every sickness and disease. Do you know that God has given, that Jesus gave his disciples authority and power over demonic influence? How many of you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? I am. You know what that means? That means you're stronger than the strong man in Jesus. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So you've been given the authority and the power of Jesus to rebuke and resist the enemy in your life. So you've been given authority. You've been given the legal right to rule over the kingdom of darkness. Wow. Are we walking in that authority? We've been given power. We've been given the ability to rule the kingdom of darkness. And you know what? It's not about your maturity in Christ, but it's entirely about your position in Christ. Jesus is at the top with all authority in heaven and earth. Is that right? How many of you know that in Jesus you're seated in heavenly places with Christ? Jesus gave that authority and power to his servants to be exercised in Jesus' name. It's about position. So we're up here with Jesus. The devil's down there at the bottom. Okay? I want to read a quick story to you just from Neil T. Anderson's book, Bondage Breaker. I think it's what it's called. Mary was a 26-year-old flower child from the 1960s. She was a Christian and a university graduate, but she had severe mental and emotional problems that developed after her father divorced her mother. Within a period of 5 years, she had been institutionalized 3 times, and she was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. After about 3 weeks of counseling, Mary finally told me about her struggle with snakes. "What about the snakes?" I asked. She said, "They crawl on me at night when I'm in bed." "What do you do when the snakes come?" "I run to my mother, but they always come back when I'm alone." He said, "Why don't you try something different next time? When you're in bed and the snakes come, say out loud, 'In the name of Christ, I command you to leave.'" "I couldn't do that," Mary protested. "I'm not mature enough. I'm not strong enough." He said, "It's not a matter of your maturity. It's a matter of your position in Christ. You have as much right to submit to God and resist the devil as I do." Mary squirmed at the prospect, and I could tell she was afraid, but she finally agreed to at least try since she had nothing else to lose. The next week when Mary walked in, she said, "The snakes are gone." Hallelujah. You know, Mary was not a spiritual giant. I mean, as far as she was concerned anyway, in the Lord. But she had the power and the authority over demons, just like you and I have the power and the authority over demons. Are you receiving that today? Are you kind of getting the idea today that we don't have to tolerate what the enemy is trying to do in our life? Amen? Glory to God. Well, I just want to close with this prayer from the same book. And if you feel comfortable, you go ahead and just agree with me in prayer as I read this prayer. This is a declaration prayer of who you are in Christ, a declaration prayer of your freedom in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you and honor you as my Lord. You are in control of all things. I thank you that you are always with me and will never leave me nor forsake me. For you are the only all-powerful and only wise God. You are kind and loving in all your ways. I love you and thank you that I am united with Christ and spiritually alive in him. I choose not to love the world or the things in the world, and I crucify the flesh and all its passions. Thank you for the life I now have in Christ. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit so I may say no to sin and yes to you. I declare my total dependence upon you, and I take my stand against Satan and all his lying ways. I choose to believe the truth of God's word despite what my feelings may say. I refuse to be discouraged. You are the God of all hope. Nothing is too difficult for you. I'm confident that you will supply all my needs as I seek to live according to your word. I thank you that I can be content and live a responsible life through Christ who strengthens me. I now take my stand against Satan and command him and all his evil spirits to depart from me. I choose to put on the full armor of God so I may be able to stand firm against all the devil's schemes. I submit my body as a living and holy sacrifice to God, and I choose to renew my mind by the living word of God. By so doing, I will be able to prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect for me. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you so glad that we can be free in Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Let's walk in that freedom. Now, if that prayer wasn't enough for you and you'd still like some more prayer for whatever you want to pray, our prayer team is going to be standing by at the end of service. Let's be respectful of them if we're in here, but it's probably best if we do our visiting out there. Okay? Amen. Next week, I want to talk about the two most common strongholds that believers struggle in. The two most common. And the one most common reason people are not able to be delivered from strongholds. Okay, so come next week and bring whoever needs to hear and be set free. Amen? Amen. God bless everyone. We're dismissed.